That's great.
Well, we're going to start things out a little different. There's going to be a message, but I've asked a few men to come forward and answer some questions up here for you. Then one's going to give you a little thing about his life. So can I have Frank, Zeke, and Raymond come forward, please? Come on up, guys. No, that's fine. This one's good. Frank, I'm going to start with you. So what years did you serve in the armed forces?
68 to 70 in the Army.
In the Army, okay. Yeah. And you said that, I was talking to you earlier, God had a way, was in your life during that time and helped you through, right?
God has always, I had three miracles happen to me when I was a little kid, and so I have always known that God loved me. And there's always trials in people's lives where they drift in and out of a relationship with God, whatever. But the thing that I want to tell you, and especially young people, is that going back to Vietnam, it was a very tumultuous country that we lived in. You had a lot of people, protesting the war and stuff. And I talked to Red, too, that the people that I really admire the most in life are the martyrs, because the martyrs died for what they believed, and it was just between them and God. They died alone. And we was in the Army. We was sent over there. We was told by our leaders, our superiors, that we were doing a noble thing, but we were all sent over there as a group because we were told we had to fight that to save the nation. Just like we're in the Muslim wars right now, I don't believe that war should have been fought. 58,000 people died, and President Kennedy knew in 1963 that the war couldn't be won, but he said that if we don't fight it, we'll lose the election. So all these people died because of that. Now I don't want to minimize anybody's death as somebody that lost, because wars are a terrible thing. But we were told that we were right. The other side were told that they were right. So young people go over there and they kill each other for what, So like I said, I don't want to get caught up in minimizing anybody's dying. People lost their lives. They lost limbs. They lost everything. But I want the young people to know that learn to know why the martyrs died, because they believed in what God, they believed in, they loved God. I didn't love anybody because I went over there. I went over there because I was told that was, and I had to. I was drafted. I was volunteer for the draft. So I was told to go over there. But like I said, I'm going to stop there. But the message that I want to get to young people is that the real heroes in my life were the martyrs, the ones that died for their faith. And they're dying now in Pakistan. The Christians will die, but they are the real heroes in my life, not us guys that were told to go over there and fight somebody else that was told, they were right and we were right and whatever. So that's all I got to say.
All right, thank you a lot. You want to stay on? Let's go ahead. Thanks. Zeke, you're next. So when did you serve and what arm?
I served from 1968 to 1970.
Okay.
Like Frank, United States Army Infantry.
Infantry, okay.
I was drafted.
And thank you. God was with you or had a big part of your life when
yes,
you were there?
Yes.
Okay.
Anything you'd like to say? You never know when you're over there who's the enemy and who's your friend. And so I used to say a little prayer every morning that for myself and my fellow troop members that get us through.
That's good.
And I'm like Frank, it was a war that couldn't be won, but it was great for the economy and the elections.
So, okay. Well, thank you, Zeke. If you want to go ahead and sit down. Raymond, I'm going to ask you the same question, then I want you to expound on some of the things you told me when we were talking in the vehicle.
Okay.
And just let you know that we had a pretty emotional time driving around the other day, trapping. Raymond went with me, and it's always nice to sit and talk with people that's had experiences that when they wasn't with God, God was still with them. So I'll let Raymond go ahead and expound on there.
Well, I'm like Zeke and
Frank, 68 to 70. I went to Vietnam in June of 68. Frank went in August 68. Both been a year, and I don't know what
January.
Much. January 68? 68. But, in my opinion, what I was drafted. Congratulations from the president. You've been drafted. Such a congratulations. But my thought was, yeah, I could have went to Canada. A lot of them did. But are we going to fight them there, or do we want to fight them on our soil? If we're going to fight for our freedoms here, we want to fight them over there. Well, now we're fighting them for our freedoms here. It's becoming more and more evident as we go on. The conflict is still about. It's at home now. Think back of the Twin Towers in 2001. It's just escalating, and it's going to continue to escalate. I wasn't a Christian. I'll bring this up because this fits in what he wanted me to. I always hunted with my Uncle Leslie, coon hunting. While I'm in the Army, they're sitting there talking to us. Anybody ever, you know, enjoy working with dogs? I said, yeah, I love coon hunting. Good, come with me. I got sent to Malaysia, across the causeway from Singapore, and about 35 miles up there. They gave me a map, and it was about like this. Here's the whole nation, and there's one road in it. Here we are. And we'd go out and train. Well, one of the things that developed there, 9 weeks of training, I walked into 150 to 200 ambushes. They'd set them up for us, because that was part of our training to be a tracker. But by the end of 5 or 6 weeks, I had got to the point that when I would be tracking somebody, I would know I was walking into an ambush. And I can remember the one day, and the guy said, well, go on. I says, they're waiting on us. And he looked, it's just like looking out across your lawn. I said, I didn't know nobody out there. He said, go on. I said, but they're waiting on us. I didn't know how, but they were waiting. And it developed while I was in training, and it served me very well in Vietnam. Now, you call it sixth sense, premonitions. Now, as I look back, I say, you know, it's a providence of God. God was taking care of me. Mm. 26 of us went to Vietnam. 14 of us died. 21 of them didn't make the year in Vietnam. They started tracker school in Fort Gordon, Georgia. Everybody I knew from Vietnam went to that tracker school but me. And I found that rough to deal with. I thought, why did all them go and not me? Why aren't I out there training new guys to go? I ought to be sharing my experiences and expertise and helping others to do the same thing. I got stuck out of all places in a gymnasium. Now, I imagine every guy that's in the military would say, man, you had it real rough, Raymond. You had to put on sweatshirt and shoes and a whistle around your neck 6 days of the week, and on Monday mornings you're in uniform for roll call, and you ain't on uniform until the next Monday morning roll call. Man, what a tough assignment. Colonel says, Raymond, here's a rule book for basketball. Learn the rules. You're going to officiate the basketball. But he says you're going to set up the schedule. You're going to schedule every company against another company when it's not going to interfere with their night training. You're going to officiate basketball games. I said, sir? And he says, was that Sergeant Morris or is that Private First Class Morris? I said, yes, sir. We'll give me the whistle, sir. Then the football season comes. He says, by the way, he said, we got to have a football field. Go out and make a football field. Schedule the football players. And the whole time I sit there thinking, I could be helping other guys learn how to be trackers. What's this all about? Well, I get out of the military. I get married. I raise three kids. On my daughter's 10th birthday, my ex-wife then, soon to be my ex-wife, comes and says, "You're out of here." So I kind of hit the low spots in the road and gave my life to Christ. And the weight of the world seemed to just lift off my shoulders. And Christ came in. Her. We had a guy here by the name of Bob Dodds. Most of you here remember when Bob was here. And we started an Awana program. Bob says, "Raymond, I want you to run the activities. You're going to run the games." I said, "Why me?" "Think you'll be good at it." So I ran the games. So I had to figure out when they're going to play, who's going to play what kind of game we're going to play, make it competitive, fair for everybody, make it fun. And somewhere in there, it dawned on me, someone mentioned something or whatever. Who put me in Vietnam? Who put me in a gymnasium? For why? I mean, all these other guys off here, why aren't out there them? But he put me in a gymnasium, prepared me to work with the youth. I've worked with the WANA program, was always here. I've worked with Vacation Bible School, games for the Vacation Bible School. And I worked at camp out there. For 25 years, I spent summers at the camp. I didn't do it because it was Gary Leffler. I didn't do it because of Larry Wagner. I done it because I think that's what God wanted me to do. And I think as I look back and recognize the working of God through all my experiences, he prepared me. Even though I wasn't his at the time, he knew I was going to be, and he knew where I'm going to be. And I think that's is what you was asking about. Mm-hmm. So.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Raymond. So that leads right into some other things I've done this week. I've been out talking to some people. And before we go any further there, though, there's one really important thing. Thank you, ladies, for what you've done for me this week. Just let everybody else know there's cake, there's pie, there's cookies, everything, ice cream. Uh-oh.
There is not cake, pies, cookies, etc. for about 150 people, so please stay.
So you just heard there, you heard, and this is going to be a celebration for the veterans, okay? To thank you for serving our country, serving us, keeping us safe, keeping our country safe. Because like Raymond said, I'd rather go to them for the battle than have them here on our soil. And I commend every person, man or woman, that's went or stayed home in the guard to make sure that we're safe and we can sleep safe, you know, good at night. And that we can be here worshiping our Lord and taking care of our families and friends. So, if you're a veteran, I want you to stand. And I want everybody to give them a round of applause, please. So, veterans, please stand. Is this, how do I say this? I don't know how you can just be in a church that has so many veterans and just not be beaming with pride. But we're not supposed to be prideful, but boy, that's sure nice. So, we'll get into I don't say it's a sermon, it's just kind of like what's happened over a few years, this week. Some friends of mine in the Guards passed away. Some friends I met when I was in basic found out that they passed away also. Lost friends from basic and boot camp and AIT. It got me thinking. We have it good. Talked to Amanda this week. It's real close to my heart. Sat in his house and got lots of wisdom. One of the things he told me, he says, always diligently stand
for what you believe in. We believe in the Lord, don't we? So we should diligently stand for the Lord. I tell you, sometimes I feel intimidated that I don't know what to say or how to say it or have to rely on somebody else to help me get through something. He said, the Lord will always lead you where He wants you to go. Stop and pray for the things you don't understand or don't know how to do. He will lead you. Let God speak to your heart. And let Him give you extreme faith. Extreme faith. And the person I was talking to has extreme faith. I sit there, I get close to him, I talk to him and his wife, and you should see, feel the love that's there for Christ and for each other, for them. And willing to share with that with other people. What was the neatest thing is sometimes I kind of stumble at this, is seeking God, studying God. Because if we stop seeking Him, we're going backwards. We're not just standing still, we're going backwards. What was really fun is, and it really, really resonated with me, is if you ever want to see God, step out your door. Look what's around you. This great creation. The trees, the flowers, the animals, the people. Seen the most simple demonstration I've ever seen in my life, and boy, did it hit home. I was handed a box. Simple box. I was told to rattle it, shake it, move up and down. So I did, and I thought first I was kind of like just barely moving. He said, no, just shake it. So I shook it. So shook it, set it back down. I said, so what's this mean? He said, open it up. Opened it up, and there was a bunch of pieces and parts of a clock in there. All parts and pieces just. He says, Red, no matter how hard you shake that, or how long you shake that, that clock ain't going to go together. He says, you got to have something, you got to have a designer. Got to have a maker. We got the extreme maker. We have the Lord. He made us. He made the world. He made all of nature. I thought that was a good example, because that clock ain't going together by itself, and you can shake that box all you want. You can wear that box out. Talked to another man. Told me, he says, when you sit down to pray, make sure you're ready to pray. Have your mind right. Make sure you ask for forgiveness and guidance when you go to pray. Another thing is when you're praying and when you're studying, keep notes. My wife does a good job of that. I'm not that good at that. I write notes in my Bible and stuff, but I don't write. She writes stuff down in journals. I see other people doing that. That's really, really good. So, one of my points today is we have one of the greatest resources in the world, our own people. Because knowledge right now in this room is amazing. I can look and see 8 or 10 men that I just love to sit and talk to and pick their brains about the Lord. So remember that when someday when you're out, oh, what do I want to do today? What am I going to do? Maybe call somebody that you know. and go sit and talk with them. But we'll go on with our Veterans Day thing. That's just the kind of thing that I was kind of trying to pull from some of the veterans and kind of talk to some other people, and that was something that God laid on my heart to talk about this morning. We have a lot of veterans in our church. We have enlisted. We've had officers. And we got people that was clerks. Got people that was warriors. We got people that was trackers. Got people know how to blow stuff up. Guys that know how to put things back together. And that's what the armed forces need. Well, that's what we need in life, too. And that's what keeps us and our country free. But you got to realize we're all soldiers. We're all soldiers in God's eyes because we're out there fighting the battle for Him against evil. And I go back to, I like this part. Go to Ephesians. Six. Eleven through 20. And I'm going to read this. I'm not a very good reader. I tried to talk my wife into it, but she says I need practice. I'm only kidding. I just need to read it. So, actually, it starts in 10. I'm sorry. It starts in 10. I guess Pastor's rubbing off on me. He gets verse up or down somewhere sometimes. Okay, starting chapter 6, verse 10 is, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power and His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of the age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. That's important, very, very important. The truth. Truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which with you will all be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And to take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of the God. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all reverence and supplication for all the saints. For me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known to mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Some of the things I pull out of that is our life, if you look at it, got it pretty good, but yeah, it's a battleground. Every day we see evil, we see bad. Look at the news on TV. But you know what? Keep your head held high because we're making a difference. We're making a difference. Just like our soldiers make a difference, keep us free. We're making a difference. Russ shared one of them this morning. We're making a difference. Even if you just plant one little thing in somebody's mind, it makes their conscience think, oh, maybe I shouldn't do that. And then make them thinking about God. We should be doing the will of God from our heart. And we should try to stay in good service with the Lord. Yes, we're supposed to be serving the Lord. Like Joe. Helps people in the church. Never hear him complain. The youth today, I forgot to set up the tables downstairs. The youth help us. They're helping. Good mind, good spirit. Appreciate that. And the Bible says we are to be strong in the power of His might. So we need to learn this. We need to know this. So when it comes up to the time that we need to say something or to stand firm, be extreme, we have the answer. One thing I've noticed in the verses here, God talks a lot about defense, a good defense. A good defense wins the battle. Yeah, offense has the deal. Offense has the glory a lot of times. But your defense, people in the rear, helping at perimeters, it's helping us stay safe. It begins with the armor. With the armor, as we would think, as of a metal suit. Don't you guys think if you see, you know, he says, put the whole armor on. Don't you think of a gladiator back in the olden days, putting on these big metal suits and chain mail and all that stuff? That's to protect. We need to know God's word to protect our hearts where we can go out and do His work. Another thing is part of the armor as a defense is the metal shield. You heard in the scripture it says that to catch all the fiery darts. It's another defense. The helmet is part of a defensive but also an offensive weapon. Protects our gourd up here. And that's protecting our mind. God's word protects our mind if we keep Him in context. Keep Him, we're serving Him. It keeps our mind in the right status, I would say. And lets us do His work. But we're also offensive. We need to get out and share. You know, do His work. Do ministries to raise money for camps or to work at a camp, like Raymond said. Do Sunday school. You know, Wednesday nights. Or something. Or like the ladies this week stepped in and helped me get cakes and pies and cookies and stuff for the celebration for our veterans. I appreciate that. The offensive weapon we have is right here. It's called the sword. With this, we can win. God's word, we can win. I promised I wouldn't go long. Because I want everybody to get down and get filled up with cake and ice cream and to be a celebration. But some things y'all got to do. Remember, in my closing here, we're all soldiers. We all belong to God's army. So, like I said, in my closing, I want to just appreciate and thank all the veterans here. So that means we're all veterans because we're in the army, aren't we? We're an army of the Lord. So we're all brothers and sisters. And we need to get out and fight for the Lord. And make sure that our opinion and our belief is known. So as we're being a soldier, let's thank our soldiers that's left and went overseas. Served here at home. Congratulate them. If you see one of them on the street in uniform, or you know somebody, I see a lot of veterans wearing hats from World War II, you know, the Korean War, the Vietnam War. Stop what you're doing. Go over, shake their hand. You would not believe the response you'll get out of a lot of those guys, gals. Joe and I was coming back from Alaska and seeing an older gentleman sitting over in the corner by himself. He had a hat on. Said, I lived the Battle of the Bulge. There was a man that seemed more deaf than anybody I could even think about knowing. I went over, shook his hand, and said, "Thank you for your service." The man started bawling. He said I was the first person that's ever thanked him personally for his service. I started bawling. I sat and talked to him for a while. He did know the Lord. And he says, the Lord does help you when you're in battle. He says, he was in a foxhole for 28 hours. And he said, when the battle got fast enough where he could get up and move, he said he was the only one left in that foxhole was alive. And he looked at me and he says, you know, he says, I missed out. I says, what do you mean you missed out? He says, I did not share with any one of those guys I was in that hole with. He says, I was on a ship with them guys going over. He says, I missed the opportunity to share with them. Man was part of a group that saved the free world. And his heart just was bleeding because he didn't take the time to share for his fellow soldiers to make sure their soul was going to heaven. He said, I forgot to be a soldier of the Lord. So let's not forget that. I feel bad because I didn't get the guy's phone number or his address. And I appreciate, I talked to Frank, him sharing, yes, I went. Raymond, yes, I went. I could have left and went to Canada. Zeke went and left. Other people volunteered. We got Chris Bennett, little Chris Bennett. He's not little anymore, but and got a lot of guys that just step up, you know, women, men. So remember, if you see a full, you know, service guy, he might be full-time, he might be part-time, he might be retired. Just thank him. And I want to thank you for letting me do what I did up here today. And I appreciate my church. And the guys that I got to talk to this week, thank you for letting me share what I learned from you. Because it meant a lot. So with that being said, whoever leaves without a piece of cake in their belly, or a piece of pie, or a cookie, or something from downstairs, I'm going to run you down. I can't run very fast, but I got people here I know can. But everybody go downstairs and take...